Yeah, that whole thing that Reggie was talking about there. Some congregations need one thing at one time and something different another time. During one day, the same day, in different congregations, different words are spoken because that is the word that those people that are in that congregation need to hear. And we've talked about this before. That's called a rhema word. It's the word for right now for that group of people. So this is hopefully what we get every time someone speaks is that it's going to be rhema. It's not just an idea that's passed through people's heads. It's not trying to promote a particular agenda. It's hearing from God and trying to be obedient to speak what the Lord is speaking. So, everybody hear me okay?
Yes. I'm going to tone you down a little bit, actually.
All right. My wife tries to do that all the time. She's always telling me. I'll be talking with her in the same room. And she's saying, Malcolm, you don't have to yell. And I'm not thinking I'm yelling. Apparently I talk loudly and I don't realize it. But I have to do it here. I do have to speak up here. I got to project my voice. So, I think what I'm going to do. I wasn't going to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way now. So, if you would turn in your Bibles, I want to read something out of the book of Ephesians. How many people in here, I think most of us are old enough, not everybody here, but most of us are old enough, saw the Andy Griffith Show? Mayberry.
Yes.
Right? Oh, you know, sometimes when you think about that, if that ever passes through your mind, you know, oh, you go, oh, the good old days. Things were really nice back then.
I still watch it.
And you can still watch it, you know, and the pace of life, the overt kindness, the way people conducted themselves, it just the whole flavor of Mayberry. It just is, oh, isn't it just wonderful? You sense that, you feel that if you ever watch that. You know, maybe today people think, well, that's really kind of...
No portable telephone.
No portable telephones, no computers back then. We can do with some good things from this day. We're not in Mayberry anymore. You know, it seems like things happen, and right in back of it is the very next thing. It used to be, didn't it? You guys remember when you went to the gas station to buy gas, and it cost. Well, I can remember when it cost 25 cents a gallon. And it was 25 cents a gallon for years and years and years.
And they pumped the gas and they washed your windshield wipers.
And they did all that kind of stuff. And then, it jumped up to like 50 cents. And I thought, this is highway robbery. 50 cents a gallon, this is ridiculous. And then when it was ready to cross over to a dollar a gallon, I said, I'm not paying a buck for gas. I'll walk. Well, that didn't last too long. But you know, things are changing, and the world is heading in a direction, things are happening faster and faster. the pace of life, the things that are happening in life, and how the world and how we react to that has also changed quite a bit, right? We can look at the things of this world. We can look at the political realm of the United States, and like our present president says, he wants to drain the swamp. Well, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and all of that foundational stuff, beautiful, beautiful things. How did we get to be a swamp? Because, believe me, he is right. It is a cesspool in Washington, D.C. when it comes to morality and ethics. On almost any kind of level. Let's just put it that way. One of the things he said he was going to do was to drain the swamp. Now, I've said this so many times, we get to see in the physical realm, in politics, in job situations, in family life, we can see a picture of what is really going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm. It plays itself out. The spirits that are strong, that have taken ascendancy, in particular families, in particular communities, in nations, it manifests itself by the way that spirit and spirits control the atmosphere. Now let me read you something out of Ephesians. It says this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, to the path of this world, to the way, to what controls people. According to the prince of the power of the air. It's talking about Satan now. The spirit which now works in the children of disobedience. Too bad there's not just the Holy Spirit. Too bad there's other spirits that can affect us. Isn't that right? We're not in Mayberry. Things are not just beautiful all the time. I forget that kooky guy that tiptoed through the tulips there, but Tiny Tim tiptoed through the tulips. Now, thank God that we have God, that He provides a way for us to not be taken out of the world, but to live in this swamp and survive. And actually even be victorious. We can do that within the junk that's around us if we're following Him. And hopefully, as much as we can, we want to drain the swamp. You want to drain the swamp that's you as a person, me as a person. I don't want to live and think the same way today as I did yesterday. And tomorrow, I'm going to want God to continue to work on my heart and work on my spirit and deal with my thoughts and deal with my reactions. I hope that that's where you are. I know that that's where you are. This is what you want, isn't it? And it's something that God has to keep pounding us and reminding us, because you know what? The power of the air, these other spirits that are around are trying every day, relentlessly, ruthlessly, to get us off course, to get us to have our thoughts drop down onto a low level, to move us and try to divide us, to do anything that he can to keep us and bring us into a darkness where we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're reacting according to our own fleshy reactions to things and the fears and stuff. Gary, you want to say something?
To add to that, in the Mayberry days, something did happen, how much it bothered us, how it affected us, and we spoke out against these things.
Yeah.
And as time went on,
yeah. And
what you're saying now, how much we just watered it down. We don't care about the things that we used to care about. And that's the disobedience
in
ourselves.
Yeah.
We're allowing that to happen to us.
This is where the church is, really. I think I've mentioned probably a month now, maybe more than a month, 2 months ago, the Lord had started speaking to me some things, but I didn't talk about it right away, but as things was going along, I sensed that God wanted me to talk about where the church is and where we are and things we need to be warned about and to make sure that we tie up loose ends and that we don't just kind of bounce through life in a Mayberry. I didn't say it this way, but I'm saying it this way today. You know, a Mayberry attitude that, everything is just fine. When we can learn, and this is important, learn how to live in the joy of the Lord, walk in victory, feel strong, and yet be able to understand it's crap all around us. There's rottenness all around us. And I'll tell you, you know, when things go on for years and years and years, and the mechanisms, I'll use the political realm, but we're talking about this in terms of the way our mind works and the way the church has acted and reacted and what doctrines they hold on to and what things go on in people's minds. You look at the political realm, the people of the United States, because of our freedoms, because of all these wonderful things and all of the finances in general were decently good, people weren't really keeping people to task in the government. And things started happening and power corrupts and corruptibility came in, and then there was networks of people, not just one or two, that used government for their own devices, but now there's networks of these people. There's things going on behind the scenes that are happening in our country, and it looks overwhelming. And to drain the swamp, how is Trump ever going to drain that swamp? You see, that's not going to happen. I hope that he tries to, but that's not going to happen. I hope he gets as much done as possible. Do we give up when things look too impossible to do? We still need to. I mean, I look at myself and go, man, how am I going to change the way I need to change? I'm still stubborn. I know the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to be obedient in all things. And I still find myself bloodying my nose. Don't you? How long? You know, it's what we have to see. Grow up, Malcolm. Buck up. Do what you can. We need to do what we can. Now, I'm talking in the spiritual realm. I'm talking about in the moral realm. Things get entrenched. There's such an entrenchment in our political system. There is an entrenchment in churches about what the expectations are, how things have to be. You know that. Some places you go and, you gotta follow an agenda. There's things you just have to do. And the Lord doesn't always work that way. The Lord is a God of order. We don't want to be people that are just, hanging off the rafters either. Because the Lord does this and he does it in the right way. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 13:17 that talks about elders, and it says that elders are going to have to give an account of the souls of the people that are under their charge. Now, we're not over anyone in terms of spirituality or anything. We're called to an office, and there's a lot of responsibility that's put onto people that are to be overseers. And myself and the others here, and anybody that's been an elder, a pastor in a church, you know that you are going to give an account of yourself, of all the souls that you've touched. So it's important that when someone's speaking a message or in conversation, that we remember that, and this is true right down to every kind of relationship. The things that we say to one another, the way that we act, is important because we give an account. We're all giving an account of ourselves to God. And I wonder how much we really take that to heart. Or do we only take it to heart when we hear it on Sunday and then forget about it the rest of the week? That's important for us to realize, hey, I'm going to give an account of myself someday. And for elders, it's going to be not only for myself, it's for what I'm giving you. Am I feeding you the rhema word? And if I'm not, I'm going to be held accountable to God for that. I know that I am not perfect. And I know that that I could be doing a better job. But I can only do what I can do. Yes. And I need your help, right?
Yes.
But this is what I see. And there's this, Reggie again talked about this here at the beginning. We're not finished talking about deception. We can be tricked by this power of the air. We can be tricked. Whole churches have been tricked, have been duped to believe certain things. And I want to talk about this a little bit more. I know we talked about this to some degree last week, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. So, yeah, maybe I will. Kathy and I, you've heard a little bit about our testimony, but we got involved with a church and ended up going up to Alaska for a number of years. So we were with this church for 12, 13 years, and things seemed to be good. When we joined this church, we were hungry for more than what we had been getting at the church we were with. And so there's this hunger for more. And I know that this is very important for us. Because I think we're hungry for more of the Lord. What happened with us is that in our hunger for more, sometimes we can take a misstep. Because you want to be there. You want to experience the Lord more. You want to be a person that really can be a real servant of God. And so you step out and you find out that, oh man, this isn't where things aren't going right here. There's doctrine that's all messed up. People are talking a talk, but they're not walking the walk. You know? And the Lord started showing certain things. There was especially in the realm of doctrine that we felt, hey, this is crazy. I'm going to actually get into some of this because I see in the church in general, okay, not this church, but in general, in the church, I am hearing the same terminology. I am sensing the same spirit, the same heretical, I'm going to use that word, heretical spirit that we dealt with, that we became very familiar with, knowing what it felt like coming up against us. And we said, we're not going to ever let that happen again. And so we're very, very cautious. This is just who we are when it comes to that kind of thing. New things are fine when led by the Spirit. But I want to say, when things are happening in churches, especially new waves of things coming in, that you want to be careful. I am going to be very careful. And so just realize this, that if there are things that are happening, don't expect me to jump right in there on some stuff. I'll be having my hands up a little bit. So I want, in Bible studies, we're in the Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 4, we were in last week, and it's funny that we were there because that's going to be the lead scripture for today. So I'd like you to open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. First John chapter 4, verse 1. So I'm saying this about myself and my perspective because I need you to help me that I don't overreact in the wrong way. And I hope that you will allow me to help you so that you don't take a hold of something that you shouldn't be taking a hold of, that you're at least cautious about. Okay? So, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, I think this is a, I said this last week, so you're going to hear some things over again. I think this is a big problem in the Christian church. Somebody says Jesus' name. I said this last week. Somebody says Jesus' name. Oh, whatever he's going to say now must be the truth. It must be coming from the Holy Spirit because he's telling me it's from the Holy Spirit. Or she's saying, bless Jesus. That does not mean that what the person is going to say or has said is necessarily from the Holy Spirit. We have to test the Spirit. You and I need to test the Spirit. We have to prove the Spirit, whether it's of God or not. And I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing. Somebody speaks a scripture to back up something they're saying, and that doesn't necessarily mean that that proves anything. I want to go through this. How do we know? How do you and I test the Spirit to see whether it's of God or not? All right? That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about. Yeah?
It just hit me, we were talking here 2 minutes ago. I was with a group of people at one time at a meeting, and that's back when they all the people were hands on each other from the middle, and
yeah.
They go down in the spirit.
Yes, yes.
The spirit, and
yeah.
And they were doing that with a circle was formed and everybody standing around and somebody going to the center.
Yeah.
And they pray, yeah. They talk, they lay hands, whatever, yeah. And they go down. Boom.
Yeah.
You know? And that one day got me up there and I started feeling, you know, kind of dizzy. And I'm like, God, if this is up for you, please stop it now. Bang, like that. I was just like that.
You were just like what? Like that what?
Huh?
I don't understand what you mean. What happened? Bam, just like that what?
Like that, bam, like that. The dizziness stopped.
Oh, the dizziness stopped.
I was okay.
Right
again. Just,
yeah.
When I ask God, if this isn't from you, please stop it.
That's a good thing that you ask. You see, now I want to say this, because there's two sides to this, because does the scripture talk about the laying on of hands?
Yes.
There's nothing, in and of itself, laying on of hands, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It is being slain in what people call slain in the spirit. Is there something wrong with that? No.
There isn't, but.
There are things that happen within churches that have gone on for decades upon decades upon decades upon decades, where, you know, people get pushed over.
Yes.
People open up to other spirits.
Yep.
These things can happen, and that's why it's important that we're not naive about the things that can go on within a church. This building does not put up and keep out spirits just because it's this building. Where is the Spirit of God? It's in us. If we are open to particular spirits outside the Spirit of God, it's possible that we can get nailed while we're standing here worshiping, if we're not really worshiping, if we're just going through the motions. We can get hit by another spirit. Can't we? And this is just, we have to grow up to these understandings. We can't be naive to think that, oh, God's just protecting me. I have nothing to worry about. I'll tell you this. I have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about if you are in Christ.
Amen.
If you're abiding in His Spirit. But you and I know that even though we're saved, we get out of His Spirit. We do things we shouldn't do. Did God lead us to do those bad things?
No.
Have those thoughts? No. We have the Spirit of God in us, but we're not being led by the Spirit in those cases. If we're being led by the Spirit of God, we have nothing to be concerned about. That's just a fact of grown-up life in God. We can't just be a baby and think that God just supernaturally protects us at all times through every situation when we are making choices that take us outside His Spirit. Overall, He's going to be there for us. Overall, He can take things and turn them to good. I believe all of that. And I find a good security in that. And I thank God for that. But I'm not naive to think that that the enemy can't be doing something within this room right now. Because he could. And that all depends on each individual, where your walk with God is, and how you approach coming in here. You know that? So, don't believe every spirit. All right, so if we're going to test the spirit, if we're supposed to test every spirit, then what is it that we do? Well, I'll just say with the overall general thing, it's got to be by the Spirit of God, right? The Holy Spirit has to be involved in this. Otherwise, if we're not moving in the Spirit, we're not going to battle these other spirits. We're not going to have the wisdom, have the knowledge, have what we need. So it's going to be by the Spirit. So everything that I'm going to talk about here, we have to realize, is based on particular things. And the basis of this is that we've got to be sure we're asking the Spirit of God. That's what he did, Jack. He said, God, if this isn't right, then stop this or show me or, you know, give me something that's going to allow me to make a proper evaluation of these things. Is this thing from God or isn't it? Now you and I, maybe, with the situation that we're in, we're felt, well, we don't have to worry about any of that. Oh yeah, we do, because it's coming in. The enemy at the end of the age is going to be even worse. It comes into the churches. Now, if you have in the back of your mind, oh, no, that can't happen because we're the church and God has us protected and the gates of hell can't prevail again, you know, and you can grab individual scriptures and you can say, oh, okay, so now that takes care of that. But I'm saying there's more. This gets into the first thing. The first thing I want to talk about as far as testing goes, does it line up with the Word of God? Is it according to the Word? If there's things going on in a church and they're not, and it's not according to the Word, if it's some brand new thing that's extra biblical, I'd be careful about that. If you don't find instances in the Word of God that people were doing these particular things, I would just at least be a little bit conservative about it. Right? It might be God does a new thing. I know we can throw scriptures back and forth, but I'm saying to you that it is important for you as a child of God to test. I mean, this is what scripture tells us, right? Test the spirits. All right, so what's one way? Looking at the Word of God. Let me talk to you about the Word of God. Let's take
an example. Let's go to John chapter 1. That's the gospel. Gospel of John chapter 1. Let's just look at something here. Okay?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Well, hopefully, we know the meanings to all those words. You got to know what the sentence is saying, what the verse is saying, first of all. Right? If we're going to test and test something, then we need to know what it's saying. We need to know if something's going on in our life, if we're hearing words in our mind that are dragging us down, is that something that is coming from God? Or is it something else? Is it God trying to convict us? Or is it another spirit trying to bring us into a desperation? Well, we need to know. We need to understand. We got to look at what the message is. We got to look at the Word. Does the Word agree with what we're hearing? So we need to know the meaning when we're talking about testing by the word. We have to know when we're talking about being testing every spirit by the word of God. Are the things that are being portrayed as doctrine or as something we're supposed to be doing in church, is it in harmony? It isn't just that one, you use one scripture. There should be more than one scripture that helps to harmonize the message. When you look at, when I read that, I would say, the word is God. I could say the word is God from the clear meaning of it, right? Are there other scriptures that would back that up and where I could say, oh, the word is God? Not just from this, are there other scriptures? Is there a harmony from in the scriptures? Well, give me an example. What else do you know? That the word is God.
Now, Revelation, Jesus sitting on the white horse, and his name was the word of God.
And his name was the word of God. Oh, there's harmony. There's other places that are going to confirm that this is true. Right? Lots of people like to take one particular scripture and build doctrine on one scripture. Now, you got to be careful with that. There should be all kinds of harmonious scriptures that prove the same thing. Right? So when we're testing by the word of God, it isn't just that it's in there someplace. It's got to be something that is confirmed. There's harmony with the rest of the scripture. We're going to know, we should be able to read it and understand what it's actually saying. And we have to look at the context of it. Is it the whole counsel of the scripture? All of these are important things that if we're going to use the scripture, that we're not too lackadaisical about it. Too quick to come up with, oh yeah, here's the scripture, this is why I believe this. Well, do you have anything else?
Further down, it says, right in John, says, 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah, down further. Right. So there's got to be that in the when we're looking for answers to things. And I've said this, and I know you're probably sick of me saying this, but you know that whole thing with grave soaking. I'm just going to use that again. I'm sorry, but you know, forgive it. But that's a practice, and you know, you think, well, who's doing that? There's a whole bunch of people that are doing this. Okay, so now, is that something that we should open ourselves up to?
No, definitely not.
And why not? Other people seem to be doing just fine with it, or they think they are. What?
They think they're getting something.
It doesn't line up here.
No,
it doesn't. Is there any scripture that would make you think that is a practice of the New Testament church? You're not going to find it in there. So that should at least make you go, I'll step back on that a minute. Something doesn't sound right. And that's right. The scripture says that when a person dies, that person's spirit goes to be with the Lord. So the spirit isn't in the grave anyway. So how are you going to soak up a person's spirit laying on top of a grave if a spirit isn't there to begin with? Right? So, I mean, but you're using the scripture to help you to understand whether it's something that we as a church or you as an individual want to open up to. Lots of people, they like the mysticism. And there's nothing wrong with being mystical in the sense that if you're talking spiritual, that there's a connection with the Spirit of God. But not every spirit is from God. That's why we're looking at the scripture. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that's said or done, just because, even if it's coming from a church. You better test the spirits
to see if they're from God or not. Everything. I told you, don't you dare just believe me if I'm saying something just because I'm the one that's preaching right now. You better go back and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. You need to search it out. That's your job. I'm not asking you to just take anything I say. I'm convinced in my own mind. I'm persuaded by what I read here that what the Lord has shown me is correct. So I'm going to have a particular force of spirit as I speak to you about it. And I believe it's God. You've got to determine whether it is or not. Don't feel that if you feel some kind of force coming from me, that I'm trying to arm wrestle you into believing anything. I don't want to do that at all.
You're backing it with the Word.
And that's one of the things we're talking about. It has to be out. I'm looking and I'm saying, this is what the Word shows me. So this is what I'm going to give to you. And as a person that preaching, I have to give an account of myself to God. Do you think I'm just going to do this just because it's off the top of my head and this is what I think and I'm just going to let you guys know? My gosh. I'm going to answer to God for these things. Now, that doesn't prove anything either. You still have to search this out yourself.
Yes. Malcolm?
Yeah, right.
Well, it reminds me of when we were in that other church, when the leader, the head pastor, expected us to just believe what he said without searching it out, or we were moving in a rebellious spirit.
Yeah.
So that's like a cult.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just,
it became a cult.
If we didn't agree with everything
you had to follow.
Said.
Yeah.
And if we disagreed, then we weren't excommunicated, but we were shunned in a way. Not sent out of the church, but not. I mean, Malcolm was an elder in the church, and he was coming against some of the doctrine that was being spoken.
Yeah.
And it was we were treated differently because of that. Yes. Excommunicated.
Yeah. Any of the things that I'm going to talk about here for testing, there is a caveat there that things can be, as far as the Word goes, and we've seen this in that group, they can take the Scripture and twist it around. So Scripture can be used and forced to prove some kind of point. So it's more, when we're testing the Spirit to see if it's of God or not, yes, the Word of God is going to take care of a lot of things. But the more refined that the enemy works, he can play with the Scripture pretty good too. And convince people, oh, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's in the Word, it says this. So, it can be contrived, and so there's more than just looking at the Word that you and I need to do. Okay? All right, so what are some of the other things? All right? So, go ahead.
There's a witness to our own spirit.
There's a witness in our spirit.
First John. That was the fourth one I had, but we'll go to it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27.
When it talks about witness, it uses the word anointing. There's an anointing. There is a presence of God. There's a witness of spirit that the Lord is saying something. You can have an immediate thing, can't you, sometimes? You know, there's an agreement. You go, oh, yeah. There's been things that people have said, and I've said, oh, boy, that's the truth. I don't like what he said, but that's the truth. Does that happen with husband and wife sometimes? No. You know, where your spouse tells you something that either you're doing or you're not doing, and you know in your heart she's right, but you don't want to really agree with her. But you have to, because you know it's true, right? There's that same kind of knowing, a heart knowing, which we call a witness in the spirit, or an anointing from God in your spirit, that where he's touching you and he's saying, this is true. And so you have a witness in your heart. So you have the Word of God that we go to as the plumb line for everything. And we also have the ability to have a witness in our spirit where it connects, where there's agreement, where there's a peace that comes, where there's a certain yes acknowledgement inside our heart. Right? This is the truth. All right? Anybody want to throw out anything else?
You're in trouble.
Because I have four things, and maybe I'm missing something, so.
You're in trouble when you don't obey that spirit.
Oh, yeah, you're going
to go your own way. And
yes. Yeah,
you know what's wrong.
That's right.
It's not the right thing to do that.
Yeah, that's what some people were saying. You know, you start feeling guilty if you're not obedient to that prompting, that witness in your spirit. Oh, yeah, I should have stopped and helped that person. I don't know how many times that's happened to me, too.
Yeah.
You know, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, you feel something. You go, oh, no, I don't think that was God because there's this line of cars in back of me, so I'm not going to stop this time. But I'll get it some other time. And then it doesn't happen, but God... You know, of course, I didn't ask God for another chance. You know, you did, so you got another chance. But, you know, those things have happened, you know. So,
I'll just go down what I have here.
I think this is a real big one. Does it exalt Jesus? Is what's going on, is the doctrine... Or the manifestations that are going on within a church service, is it exalting Jesus, or is it bringing attention to self? And there's a lot of things. People can say Jesus' name, and they can be wiggling around on the floor. But whether that really gives exaltation to Jesus or not, yeah, I guess it's left to be seen. To me, that's a little bit showy. That's to gain attention. Now, does that mean that if something happens here like that I'm going to sit there and judge? I'm not judging any of that. But I'm just saying to you, because that's between the person and God. But I'm saying for myself, lots of people come in, they get born again, and they have personality issues and insecurities, and they want to be loved, and they want to be noticed, and they want to have a place. And then they come into church, and because there's all this accepting, they feel like, well, here's where I'm going to get it. And they start to pull to themselves rather than be humble and exalt God. No, they want attention. I'm just telling you, that is what it's like in lots of churches.
Malcolm, like I say, on an individual basis, there was somebody I know, he told me this. He said he used to go into church, and he, every time at a certain point, he would fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And he admitted later on that was his thing, to fall to the ground. And,
yeah.
And then one day, though, God got a hold of him. You know, that's where the judgment comes in, right? So,
right.
So if you're judging that person and you shun them, and then they go out the door, he never gets to that point where he actually accepts the Lord. Now, and he'll tell you, he'll say, and I can remember other people saying, every time, you can always count on this person just going down.
Mm-hmm.
That would, and people were like, that doesn't make any sense. But they didn't shut them. They just,
right.
you know, they right. just let it
go. Yeah, we're not doing this. We're not going to do this here, where we're going to sit there and judge people. You know, you can go to some churches right around here where if you're not speaking in tongues, then they wonder whether you're a Christian or not. As though there's some kind of judgment about the gift of speaking in tongues. When the scripture says, not all speak in tongues, do they?
No.
Well, and it's a rhetorical question. No, not everybody does. So does that mean that everybody's supposed to? That means that no. Some people will and some people won't. If you want that and you want to pursue a particular gift, you can ask God. And if God wants to give it to you, you'll have it. I speak in tongues. But I don't make a big deal about it. I don't think that that's some kind of qualification for anything. But some people try to make it that way. So this is important as far as what's the doctrine? What's the scripture say about that particular thing? Well, look it up and see. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Read that whole thing where he talks about, you know, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you guys. But he'd rather not do that in church. He'd rather speak words of exhortation than he would speaking in tongues. Read 1 Corinthians 14. See how Paul looked at the gift of tongues. Yeah, that's important.
Don't everyone understand.
You know? Yeah. There should be an interpretation. You know? We're not doubting that. And you could walk out of here saying, well, these people, they're against the Holy Spirit because they don't want gift of tongues. No. The gift has its proper place. And that can be used in a wrong way. Just like any of the gifts can be used in a wrong way. Just like the offices in the church can be used in a wrong way. Depending on who the people are. Steve, did you have to handle it?
Yeah, what about churches that don't believe in speaking in tongues? They don't believe it's biblical.
Well, that's the other side of it. You know, I mean, it's certainly in there. So that is something that happens within a church. It does, and some people freak out about it because it seems too spooky. But it is there. You can't deny that it's not there. Joe, did you have any?
Yeah, there are churches that give people a test to see what gifts they should have.
Oh yeah.
Like, I guess not. But I mean, they actually give you this booklet.
Yeah.
And you fill it out, and at the end of it, it tells you, well, you got the gift of this or that.
No. I think it's all, to me, that kind of thing might have its place, but it all depends on the motivation and how it's set up. I don't know how that's, but because there are things that you can find out about yourself, but that necessarily doesn't mean that that's the gift you're going to have either. And then you go around thinking, oh, I got this gift because this book showed me that this is where my, and it could be totally wrong. So all of this kind of stuff, you gotta test it out. It should be out of the Word. It should be a witness in your heart. Is that as far as we've gotten so far?
Yeah.
I do want to finish this today, so I'm gonna finish this today. All right.
That Jesus is.
Lord. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's right. Exalting Jesus. All right, that's what we're talking about. I think more and more, the new things that are coming into Christian churches are, they say they're exalting Jesus, but it draws attention to themselves. Just be careful what, you know, as you see things going on in other churches. Oh boy, that was really neat. I'd like to do that. You know, I want to do that in this church type of thing. Make sure. Just test it out. Test the Spirit. It could be good. But we're not going to just, you know, huh? Oh, something new, let's do it. Won't this be fun? You know? I want everything to be based on this and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people say, oh, well, I just want to be led by the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit, God is a God of order. There's other things that there the caveats all around that. It is not a free-for-all. Nor is it some scrunched down, tight, legalistic bunch of crap that people have to live through either. We're trying to find where the Spirit is in this. We're not trying to put our own mark on something. We're looking to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what hopefully every church group wants to do. And they're missing it in one respect, and we're missing it in some other respect. But we're trying to go in the right direction. And the best thing for all of us, if you're sensing something that, I don't see this happening, or I don't see that happening, come and talk to the elders. If we're missing something, we don't think we're some highbrow, we're the end all of something. Give us input. Let us pray about it. But don't have a hissy fit if we don't do what you want us to do either. You understand? We're in this together. We're brothers and sisters. All right? So I'm open to hear things. You might not think so. I don't know. Because you know what? Other people in the deaconship, the eldership, they come and say, well, some people have this to say or that to say. I thought, why won't anybody ever come talk to me? Nobody ever complains to me. I don't know, And I'm thinking, why? Why is it, why do they?
They're afraid.
What? That's stupid. I mean, there are certain people I know that people feel a little more. Maybe easier to talk to, but I'm really kind of easy to talk to. I'm very accepting, and you can smack me on the forehead with I think you're a piece of crap, Malcolm. And here's why. Blah 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 blah. I might not agree with blah 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 blah, but I might agree with that. I mean, yeah, you might have a point there.
See, some people do come to.
No, they haven't. Besides you.
No, other people.
No, I have had people say this
to me.
That's right. I don't mind. I don't mind at all because I want to be refined if I need to be. And I hope that's what's in your heart too. That you're not afraid if somebody comes to you and says, hey, such and such, such and such. Because I know myself, somebody says something that doesn't make me feel real good, I can get defensive. You can get defensive. That's the first response. Whoa, push back, I need some space, I need some protection here, I need to put up some walls, I need to say something, I need to push back. That's the human condition. And we have to fight, that. And say, no, I'm going to be like Jesus, and I'm going to be humble and hear what a person has to say. At least listen, right? Listen to what people have to say. You don't have to agree. I don't want to be false. I'm not going to pretend I'm something false and say, oh, well, you're right. I have to accept what you have to say because I have to show you I'm humble. That's a pile of crap, too. If it's truth, we need to hear that. You need to hear it for yourself, and I need to hear it for myself. And we're all part of this. We're in this together. This is important. We're not in to prove that we're some super spiritual individual or some super spiritual church. We're here to serve God. He's the one that's supposed to be exalted.
And in all the practices of whatever we do and the situations that happen within our services and the way we conduct ourselves out in the world and in and how we conduct ourselves here are all to be glorifying Jesus. And all of us can say that. But I'm talking about the real reality of that. Where that's the driving motivation of our heart. And there's nobody in this room that's 100% I'm all for Jesus. And, you know, I don't have anything in me left. It's just all for Jesus. No, every single one of us has things to work on. Every single one of us. And that's not downgrading anybody. This is who we are as human beings. But God wants us to grow. Get up out of that. Awake ourselves. You guys doing okay?
Malcolm, I just want to say, sometimes it's very hard to be corrected.
Yeah.
And we don't like correction.
No, we don't.
And it can happen. And so how do we accept that correction in Christ? You know, what kind of attitude do we have with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
Because a time ago I was corrected.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a slam.
Yeah.
But I stood and listened, and then I realized it was true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, do you let the Lord's Spirit dwell so that you can take that correction?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is really important. Yeah, we really need to. And the thing of it is, too, that sometimes when somebody comes in and corrects you, you might not have a really great response. Which really hurts that person who's trying to help you, you know. And when that kind of stuff happens, you know, if I've said something to somebody and they've walked away upset with me, you know, I have to give room. And if you know, all the years in the ministry, I've understood that, you know what, people can have bad reactions. But the Spirit of God can also touch them afterwards. And I don't have to go running and make sure that God's working on them. I'll let them, this is what you have to do, this is why I'm saying it. You have to give people room for some of that stuff to come out, be taught to by God, and grow. We don't have to be running around picking at every little thing that we see. And then if somebody can't receive something, you know, like a gnat be acting to try to change. Let God do the work. Right? You know, you think, well, what are we getting these words for? Why are we talking about all this stuff? Why can't we just go back to the way it was 3-4 years ago? Because there's things coming up that we're in training. I don't know if you believe that or not. There are things that are going on in this world. And God is training us so that we will be the light when things are so dark. But we're not going to just be, knighted by God. You know, we got to be a squire first. We've got to go through the training, how to sit on the horse and hold the lance and have it at the right angle to do the tilt. You understand? We're in this. We're at the end of the age. Not unless you don't believe that. But I'll tell you, from where I'm coming from, I know we're at the end of the age. Jesus is coming back. He's looking for a people that are going to allow themselves to be transformed and conformed to the image of His Son. So where there's not spot or wrinkle. That's where we're trying to go to. That's what He wants, doesn't He? He wants us to be light in a dark world. Well, all of this means some changing in us. And it doesn't matter how old we are. I'm 70 years old. I should be retired. I'll tell you what, there's no such thing as a retired minister. There is in the world, there is in certain denominations, maybe you can retire and get some kind of pension as a pastor. But you don't find that in the Word of God. When you have a calling, you have a calling. And you're going to die in that calling. The gifts and calling are irrevocable. God doesn't take them back. You don't decide, I'm not doing this anymore. If you've been called, you're called. Whatever the thing is that you're called to. So, you know, if you're called to that particular ministry, go ahead and, you know, you're called to it. And you're not going to retire from it. No. This is important for us, you know.
To walk in the Lord. I just want to let you know, I started pretty late today. I know. That's probably a little bit of my flesh, but I'm getting past it.
Okay. Last one. Confirmation. All right. Proverbs 11:14.
For that, I'm going to go back. I'm going to actually go to that scripture because I want us to look at that. Proverbs 11:14 says this. Oh, I might want to go. Is that it? Yeah.
Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You know, if you are the only person that has a witness about something, you might want to be a little more careful. Usually, God is going to confirm things. Have you noticed that in our services, that most of the time, much of the time, things that are said at the beginning of a service, words of songs, things that people, in testimonies, go with the message. God confirms the direction for the church. It happens that way. God does it that way. If we're listening to God. It happens a lot here. So that's one way of knowing, isn't it? That this is the message. This is a direction for us to go in. This is what God wants you and I to be contemplating through the week and moving ahead with Him on. We get the confirmation. So if we have those four things, you know, we have the Word of God, and we're looking at the whole counsel of the Word of God and how it harmonizes. And what things actually mean. Along with that, we have the fact that there's a inner witness of our spirit to what's taking place or what's being said. And along with that, there's confirmation through other vessels besides just one person. And then especially, I think, that Jesus himself is exalted. Not the church being exalted, not looking for attention coming to individuals through particular actions or whatever, but that it really is Jesus who's really getting exalted. Not because we say it, but because it's actually happening inside each of our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
You had enough. I need to know the truth. See, yeah. Joe says yes.
No, I said
keep going. Oh. He said yes.
I know. Glenn, you want to say something?
Just again by confirmation. 1 John 5:7. There are three witnesses in heaven.
Yeah.
The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one.
These three are one.
And there are three witnesses on the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are in unison.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. So Joe, the title is Test the Spirits. Okay? If you want to get it out. Well, Father, I ask that you bless this message and what you want to have residing in our hearts.